Hello, Natalie, and welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you on our episode today. So in case anyone isn't familiar with Natalie, Natalie Holloway is the founder, co-founder of Bala, a very, very popular fitness line. If you're familiar with the hot girl walk Bala bangles, wearing them trends, you probably have seen Bala before. Anyways, I love Bala so much. I have been using Bala honestly since probably like 2020. It's been a long time, but I'm so excited to have her on the episode. We're going to talk all things balancing motherhood, having a business, entrepreneurship tips, and some fitness things as well. So Natalie, welcome. I'm so pumped to have you here.
I'm so ready to be here and chat.
Okay, so let's just dive right into things. Natalie, how many kids do you have? And also, how has that been? Just balancing having a family and also having a business.
I have three kids. I just had my third kid and he's a baby. He's 10 weeks old. So it's crazy. Like, I think having one was definitely a shock to the system. You go from not being a parent to being a parent. And so your life changes dramatically. And then from one to two, it wasn't that shocking for me because, I was already in that lifestyle of being a parent, you know, waking up at six, whatever it required. But now we've shocked our system again by having a third. And it just virtually means that at any given time, like, you're doing something for one of the kids, you know, someone's freaking out at any given time. So it's just crazy over here. But chaotic and fun, I like to say.
Okay, so my question is, right now, as you're recording the podcast, is he handling all three kids, or do you guys have help, or do you have family there? What's that like for you guys?
Actually, interesting question. So typically we have my mom, which I say, like, she's the only reason we could have three kids, because it's like she's helping us like full time pretty much. So it's like my mom's always here. But she's in Texas today. So actually, right now, what it looks like is my husband and I are like tag teaming the day. So it's like, you know, he got to work for an hour earlier and I was on all three kids and I just threw him all three kids and he's watching them while I do this podcast and maybe do a few emails after. And then I'll be kind of like on kid duty all day. And then when they nap, I'll try to like power through some work. So every day is different, but typically I have my mom and she's on kid duty and that allows me to like have like, you know, like 3 hour work windows, I would say, in between kid stuff.
Wow. That's kind of what me and my husband do as well. He right now is on, we also tag team, and that's been the only way we've been able to make it work because we don't have family where we live. So right now he's on, we call it bell duty. He has the baby monitor. She's napping right now, but it's like a scramble during nap time. It's like, how much can we get done in this small window? Like,
for real. Like, let's do everything, clean the house, do all the emails. Wow. And we were like that too on the first kid. We didn't have a nanny for like the first 6 months. Your baby's 6 months.
Yeah.
So we just did the tag team, which is basically throwing the baby back and forth and the other person doing a meeting during that time.
Oh my goodness.
It takes a lot of coordination.
I feel like it has truly made us such a strong team. Like, that is, there's also no time for dilly-dallying. Like, you have to be locked in your window of time to do anything.
Truly no time for dilly-dallying.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. I would love to hear, I know you and Max have a business together. So you not only have your three human babies, you also got your business baby too, which is its own thing. I'm so curious to know the story of Bala. What started Bala? And I was kind of doing a little stalking of your website and all the about and everything. And I saw that you mentioned Bala was first written on a napkin. So tell me a little bit about that story and how it all started.
So we were working in advertising and we were working at an agency in LA that really kind of like overworked us. And we were exhausted. We were late 20s and we were like, young enough to like quit and go experience living abroad and maybe kind of like take a break from our career for a year. And so we said, we were exhausted. We were like, this maybe isn't the place for us. Let's quit our jobs and travel for a year. And actually traveling allowed us to finally have, you know, space in our day, in our heads to like really think of creative ideas. And that's when the first idea for Bald Bangles came about, because we were doing a fitness class. And at the time, I was very into core power yoga. Do you know core power yoga, where you do yoga with weights, basically? It's the craziest workout. Even still, like, it was one of my first workouts I did after being cleared to work out after having my third child. And it reminded me, like, this is the best workout, a sweaty yoga with dumbbells. And the reason I bring that up is because that's like kind of like the insight for when we first came up with the product, is because we were doing a very easy yoga class in Indonesia and we wanted to sweat, but it actually wasn't hard. This class was just like a meditation class. So afterwards we were like, what if we could have made that a harder class, kind of like core power yoga? We were like, okay, well, they use dumbbells, but what about wrists and ankle weights so that you could just like flow through a movement without like picking it up and pausing? And that's when we realized, wait, this like jazzercise product that people use in the 80s, like, isn't used anymore. So we were like, why is that? It's such a great tool for working out. We're in this like wellness era. And that was even before wellness boomed like crazy. But we were like, we need people to be using wrists and ankle weights. So let's kind of like redesign them, modernize them, think about all the materials, kind of the way like Quip did for the toothbrush, you know, or there's so many examples of somebody like taking a product and making it more design conscious for the modern world. And so that's what we did. And we drew out on a napkin the original idea for Ball of Bangles, which was kind of like a bracelet. It looks the same. Like if you saw the drawing, it looks like a prototype. And then we had no idea how to like how to actually prototype or make a product, but we had this like drawing on a napkin, and that's how the brand came to be.
Okay, so I have so many questions. You had no idea how to do a prototype. How did you first figure out where to even start with making a product as a prototype?
Well, we had Max's family actually are toy inventors randomly. And so we had a little bit of a place to start where we asked his uncles, and we were like, we want to make this product. It's silicone based. It's a fitness item. Looks like this. Do you have any idea of how we could even start? And they connected us to one of their toy factories. And so our first prototypes were made by a toy factory, and we kind of like piecemealed it from there, really just trying to figure it out along the way.
That is so cool. And I know you guys were on Shark Tank, which I don't want to speak for you, but was that kind of when, I don't want to call it like your big break, but is that when the business really started to take off, was after Shark Tank or was it before?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were taking off in the sense that really organically we grew to like 2 million in sales before Shark Tank. And so it kind of speaks to like the product was like, there was a market fit. People were finding out about it. We were getting into retailers, but definitely big break was Shark Tank. When we went on Shark Tank, it was 2 weeks before the world shut down due to COVID. And so the combination of, you know, fitness gear being like the number one item you needed during COVID, right? Because people stopped going to the gym. So they were working out at home. So we had this COVID, and then we aired on Shark Tank. So like our maximum media exposure moment hit right when people were working out at home. So Wow. It's like those two things really grew the business in a way in which I could not replicate today, you know?
Yeah, it's like right place, right time. That's awesome.
Totally, yeah.
But before Shark Tank, when you were having the organic growth, like what were some of the things that you were finding was really helping push Bala into the retailers and getting the eyes on Bala?
So before Shark Tank, I think what were we doing? Honestly, anything and everything. So we would do like, we were getting buyers' attention in many ways. Like I'll give you two examples. We went to a few trade shows, which I think is a really great way to get exposure on your product. We would tag them on Instagram. So like, for example, Free People, we got into Free People because the Free People president saw that we tagged Free People Movement in one of our Bala shoots. And so like, that was like a good like way to get discovered. And then like Bandier, we got into Bandier by DM LinkedIn DMing the buyer. Wow. So it's like, I say this because we were just doing anything and everything, tagging on Instagram, trying to reach out to them via LinkedIn and sending cold emails. And so really many different ways we were found.
Wow, that's awesome. I feel like so many people, I know myself included, sometimes I'm like, is that even worth it? Is there like a one size way to do things? But I feel like sometimes you just have to get creative with it and sometimes even get like a little bit scrappy. But I'm so curious, when you were, I also saw that when you were first starting out, you guys were mailing all of the orders out yourself. How did you guys manage to like balance your relationship, but also balance having a business together?
That was insane, mailing all of our orders. We did way too many. I think at first we were not good at it. You know, we were not good at like balancing. Everything was like, well, it still is kind of like, we talk about business all the time. But I think at first we were like, we just didn't establish like our own swim lanes in Bala. We were kind of still figuring out everyone was doing everything. And so it led for like, you know, some like conflict of like stepping on each other's toes and things like that. So now we figured out how to, you know, be in our own swim lanes. Like he owns his categories of the business. I own mine. Mm-hmm. And now we like make time to like date each other and things like that. So I think we learned from experience, because at first it was messy and we didn't know how to like be in business together, but now it's like all we've ever known. Cause basically we really just started dating when we started, when we went on that trip, and on that trip Bala came about. So for our whole relationship, Bala has been a thing. So we've really learned from experience how to work together on it. And it helps that there was no like, there was barely any pre and post Bala. It was pretty much at the beginning.
Wow. I didn't know that. So when you guys were dating and you had just started Bala, was there ever like, did you guys ever experience kind of insecurity around just not being like married and dating, like freshly dating and having a business together? Or like, do you know what I mean by that? Like, did you ever have any of those things kind of come into some of the conflict?
Well, we actually, okay. So it's kind of weird, but it wasn't, it wasn't like a business yet when we were dating. It was just like prototyping. And then we had a Kickstarter and like pre-production on this like side project. But by the time it was like we got married and then we launched it on Shopify. And that's when things like, when it became like a serious business. So we mm-hmm. were married anytime it was serious. Before that, it was more like working on a side project together.
Because I know so many people, I mean, me and my now husband, we started working on, I was actually initially my business and then we were dating and then he started working with me while we were dating and then we got married. So I feel like when we were, I feel like so many people go down that path, either dating, having a business together, or even starting a business with their best friend. Do you have any tips for anyone who is navigating that, where maybe you don't feel like super secure in that relationship? Like there could be a potential falling out. Do you have any tips and advice for how to navigate that and not let those intrusive thoughts happen if they do?
I mean, I feel like it's tough if you're not in business. I feel like you should wait until you know you're like in it for life with this person to go into business, like whether that's like a sister or you know, like a husband or somebody you're dating that you feel like you're going to be in it for life. But then if it's like, you don't know, I mean, I think the best way is probably to do like coaching, leadership coaching together, because we did that at one point. I think that helps you navigate if there's ever going to be intense conflicts or if like there's a potential of like breaking up. I would say leadership coaching, because I feel like they would be able to navigate that in a good way.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about your Shark Tank experience. I watched the clip before. I was like, wait, this is so wild. You guys had all of the sharks, like most of the sharks, fighting over Bala for who wanted to have equity. That was crazy. I've actually never seen that happen before, because I knew you guys were on Shark Tank, but I didn't see the episode. And I was like, wait, that's so awesome. So tell me a little bit about what was it like having the sharks all fight over your business in the moment?
I mean, in the moment, it was extremely surreal. And I still like vividly remember, well, because especially because we went in, I think we were asking for $100,000 or $300,000. And at the time, like when we pretty much got almost $1 million, that seemed like an insane amount of money for the business to inject the business. And so I think it was like twofold. It was like we walked in there asking for less money and we walked away with a lot more money. So that was like crazy. And then there was, it was just really surreal that they all were fighting over the product. And I remember thinking at the beginning of going on, you know, everything's like, you can feel people's energy. And I could feel at the very beginning that they were all into it. Like I just could tell. And I've seen so many episodes that you can tell when they're going to like tear you apart or if somebody's not buying it or, you know, and I could feel the energy that they were all like, wow, I like this. And so it helped with our confidence on stage when they were asking us questions. Cause I was like, oh, they're into this. And then walking away, it was just like disbelief. Like, did that really happen? Did all five sharks really want in? So that was like, that was a very surreal moment. Still feels surreal.
How did you guys get on Shark Tank?
I mean, we just applied.
Wow. Did literally, you go like, through different rounds to get on the actual show?
Okay. Yeah, it's a complicated, process, I will say. It's a long process, but all we did was apply to get on. So I would say the application was easy, but then the process of actually getting on is long and there's still like tryouts throughout. Like you have to send videos, you have to talk to the producers. Like it's like, you're never really on until you air. So that's also stressful because it's like, it's almost like just like dating somebody. Like you don't know it's for real till you get married or something. It's like that. And like, you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out at all times because it could not work out. Even when you go to film the episode, they tell you this might not air because let's say it's not TV worthy. They cut a certain amount. So a lot of people film and they don't actually air on TV. So it's really like you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out until it actually happens. So it's really hard to not like get excited, get your hopes up, but it's you have to try to like keep that in check because at any point you could be like not airing.
What inspired you guys to apply to be on Shark Tank? Or like, what was the inspiration there?
I was in really just like doing everything mode on Bala where I was like, okay, apply to this retailer, reach out to this media outlet, like just go, 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 try everything. Don't be fearful of rejections. And people always said like, hey, you should go on Shark Tank. And then one day somebody said it and I was like, I'm just going to see if I can apply. And I went online and it was like, hey, email this person. It was like an easy application. Took like 5 minutes, did it, sent it, and then the rest is history.
Wow. So are you on more of the marketing side of Bala in terms of?
Yeah, we split the business in very clear areas. Like Max is product, I'm marketing and social. Max is like finance, I'm operations, and I'm more like the external facing person as well. So we really split it. If you like went down the category and said, who does legal? Who does this? Like, it's like Max or me. And we aren't ever in like the same two meetings.
Interesting. Okay. And so I'm so curious because pre Shark Tank, was it just you and Max in the business? Did you have any employees or any contractors before then?
Pre Shark Tank? Okay. So no, because when we went, I think my sister worked for Bala at that time. So it was like basically Max and I for the first probably year and a half. And then we were like, we need to hire somebody. We hired my sister because she was kind of like a jack of all trades, but really involved in like the creative direction, the social and all that. So then we hired my sister and then Shark Tank aired and COVID happened. And then we were like, oh, we need a couple more people. So we hired a sales associate and then my other sister to do customer service. So at that point, we were still a really small team. And then after that, we started hiring more people.
What was it like working with your sisters?
It's like what you were saying, like there's like trust there, like you're not going to break up, you know? And so there's this level of trust. They actually don't work for the company anymore for various reasons. We had to downsize a while ago, but one of them still does like freelance shoots and styling for us. So, I mean, it was great working with them. It just like, the era ended and we're still cool and best friends and see each other every day.
Was it hard being kind of like quote unquote boss of your sisters?
Yes. I think I was like, I'm the oldest, so it's a little more natural. but yeah, definitely there were areas that were challenging.
Okay. So I'm really curious. Once you guys got, you got two investors, right? From Shark Tank. Two of them went in on your business.
Maria Sharapova and Mark Cuban, yeah.
Are they still investors today?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, it's like they're investors until the company is sold, basically.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So once they invested in Bala, what was kind of the first different steps, things you guys implemented?
Really, like, they're so hands-off. Shark Tank investors are so hands-off as opposed to, like, VC investors. So I would say we had implemented, like, I think it was, like, a monthly or weekly update to them where we said, like, here's what's working, here's what's not, here's our sales. And then that died off after, like, a year because they don't require that. That was just, like, us trying to be, like, good students, you know? So I would say, like, we haven't implemented much. The only thing is, like, maybe big things we'll ask their advice for. But Shark Tank investors are definitely hands-off. So we use them when we need for, like, favors or, like, supporting a launch, coming on a panel with us, things like that. Yeah. But other than that, I think it's just they're pretty hands-off.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. One thing I've learned in my 20s is that mental wellness starts with small habits, which is why I'm so excited to put you on Glorify. Glorify is your go-to Christian app for mental health resources just in time for Mental Health Awareness Month. I've made it a habit in my life to pull out the Glorify app on the daily, especially around that 3 p.m. sad girl hour slump, and read or listen to their daily devotional and wrap up with an immersive experience called the Daily Walk with God, which is kind of giving a little bit of a meditation, but faith-based. It's super cool because when I use this app, I immediately feel like I'm reconnecting with the peace I know only Jesus can bring. Like, the Holy Spirit moves and God has spoken to me so many times through this app. It's truly so beautiful. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, the Glorify app has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Visit glorify-app.com/Callie right now to download the Glorify app for free. That's glorify-app.com/Callie to download the Glorify app for free. glorify-app.com/Callie. My healthy behemoth queen, have you ever felt like you're doing everything right? Eating healthy, working out, getting your steps in, but your energy still tanks by 2 p.m. or you just feel off for no reason? Same. And what I didn't know for the longest time is that so many of those little things, low energy, occasional bloating, mild mood dips, can actually be tied to what's going on with your hormones. Okay, but Callie, I know my hormones are out of whack. Where do I even start? That's exactly why I love Happy Mammoth. They have a free 2-minute hormone quiz that helps you uncover what might actually be going on beneath the surface. It's super quick, just a few questions about your lifestyle and what you're feeling, and then it gives you a personalized recommendation. I took it myself, and my results showed that my estrogen levels might be off. One of the first things they suggested was their best-selling herbal formula called Hormone Harmony, which is filled with plant-based ingredients backed by science. They have adaptogens in Hormone Harmony, such as ashwagandha, which helps your body respond to stress, and maca root, which I love, which supports steady energy, helps ease mild mood swings, and even supports healthy desire and drive. Hormone Harmony has over 40,000 five-star reviews, and they sell a bottle every 24 seconds. One survey even found that 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said they felt like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Callie at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Callie for 15% off today. And you spell Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E.
Saving money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. Did you guys make any massive changes once you guys had that new funding in your business?
So sadly, at the time, I didn't know a ton about business. So we used it pretty much for inventory.
Okay.
And we didn't, like, if I did it now, what I would do is probably deploy it for marketing or team and save and do a loan for inventory. But at the time, we just didn't know, like, the right financial moves to make. So mostly it was spent on inventory.
Do you have any tips for anyone who maybe is starting a business or has a business in terms of how to make better decisions and also not experience that, what's it, analysis paralysis?
So how to make better decisions? I think you have to avoid analysis paralysis. And that's like what I always say, because I think that is the difference of being very action oriented versus kind of like slower and maybe not taking as many chances. And I think at the beginning of a business, and pre-launch, like you have to like take chances, you have to move quickly, all of these things. So I think you have to be less precious about the decisions you make. And especially if you're less precious about these the decisions, it takes less room in your brain, and you can like just pivot and keep moving. So I think early stage, pre and post launch, is all about momentum. So the best thing to do is to take off the guardrails on like decisions you make to avoid analysis paralysis, and just like keep it moving, keep the momentum going.
So in terms of hiring a new team, how did you guys go about doing that? Once you guys had the new investors and all of that, did you guys start to offload kind of your day-to-day responsibilities, or are you guys still like heavily involved in the day-to-day of the business, or what does that look like?
Like we are, and we are heavily involved in the day-to-day business, but I do try to delegate as much as I possibly can. So I'm like trying to convince Max to get there, because he's not there. He like still owns all of his stuff. And I'm like, you gotta delegate. So I think once you start delegating, it's kind of like addictive, because you're like, wait, I just delegated that, the business didn't break, and now I have an extra hour in my day. And it's like, that is crucial to growing a business and systems. I forgot what the original question was, but essentially, yes, delegating.
Yeah. Honestly, same. But I think that was the question. I think that
okay,
was the
good. Question. I answered.
I feel like the mom brain is real. I'm like, wait, what just happened?
Imagine the mom brain after three.
No, it's, I can't. I literally.
I should not be speaking in the public.
I'm impressed that you are speaking and you are doing an amazing job. But that's
hopefully really, it's making sense.
It is. Yeah. It is. No, that is really good advice, though. That's something that I struggled with, is getting super stuck in key man risk and not wanting to delegate or hire a team or any of those things. So right now we're in that process of trying to get it to not be the Cali show where it all relies on me every day, because it's a lot of pressure to carry.
It really is. And you can start simple, like start with the simple delegating things. I mean, even like, you know, if a bill comes to your email, like a hospital bill, I'm just giving an example, like you think that's like easy enough, you should do it. But it's like, if you think about it, you might have to like log into a portal. I forgot the password. Now I have to troubleshoot that. And I have to go get my credit card. Now I have to, it's like, it could take 30 minutes of your day. And it's like that, start there. Start with the easy stuff anyone can figure out.
I love that. Because I think that's the hardest part. A lot of people, I know, I don't want to speak for everyone else, but I've gone stuck in it. I'm like, well, I can edit a video in 30 minutes. Like, why do I need someone else to do it for me?
Yeah.
But like you're saying, those are things that, okay, maybe shifting focus to what can only you do, and outsourcing the other small things.
Yeah, because those 30 minutes, you might be better. You might be making yourself more money by saving it for creative time and concepting more videos. And then you've just farmed out the editing of it, you know, and now you've opened yourself up to like a bigger business. So it's definitely took me several years to get there. Probably like 5 years, honestly. Wow. And then I was there and can't go back.
That's awesome. Well, that's really encouraging to hear, because that's been like a little current thing. It's actually really funny you did a hospital bill, because I got a hospital bill today and I was like, oh.
Delegate.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about, just a little bit more about Bala before we move on to more of the personal balance, motherhood, all those things. I'm really curious, because Bala, I mean, you guys took what was once a trend back in the 80s and you turned it into something trendy again that honestly is here to stay. And you really just influenced that fitness with fashion, truly. And I'm really curious, because I have noticed that you guys are trendsetters in the space. People have mimicked what you've done and tried to take their own spin on things. I'm really curious, though, like, how has that been? How have you guys navigated having other people mimic you? And how do you not let that get in your head? And how do you keep kind of like moving forward with it all?
I mean, it's so incredibly frustrating. We've probably like, we have like lawyers that basically are, because we have patents and stuff. And so we've like sued a lot of people for doing it. But then there's a lot of people that change the design and they go by the patent. They know exactly what they're doing, or they're influencers that we've worked with. And then they go make the exact same product, but with their logo. And it's really disheartening. And it used to get to me. And now I feel like it's like, I have to like, it doesn't like, I've realized it doesn't help my energy to get annoyed by it, even though it's naturally so annoying, but it doesn't help like my energy level on Bala and all of that. So I try to like really just say, you know what? Like, think about fashion. It's like this top that I'm wearing probably came off the runway years ago. And then, you know, and then somebody ripped it off, and then another person ripped it off, and another person ripped it off. So it's like, I just tell myself, well, that's what fashion does. And we made fitness fashion, so it's inevitable. And then you just try to just win on brand and innovation. But it definitely, my husband's like the product designer, and it drives him insane. Like, he follows all of the brands that do a copy. He follows them on Instagram so he can keep tabs on it. And I'm like, that's not good. You don't want to like think about it. You got to just move on, because what can you do?
Oh my goodness. I'm so curious too. I mean, I'm sure you guys have you guys ever received like a lot of criticism for anything in particular? And like, how have you navigated like moving on from, even if it's like team pushback or any little minor thing, how do you not get hung up on it when it's your business baby?
I used to read every single customer service email and DM, and like, of course, you just can't please everybody, and you don't want to, you know, but it's like, you are always going to come across criticism. Always, always, always. Whether it's like a particular image you used, like, oh, that's gross, or like, she's too skinny, or she's too this, or anything like that. And so you're always going to come across criticism. And I think it does get under my skin. Like, you know, the doll trend.
Yeah. Yeah.
On Instagram. Like, we did a doll trend post, every single person did. And we had these like people like being like, I can't believe you would use AI. And we were just like, we're having a little fun with it. Like, literally everyone's doing this trend. Like, let's just have fun. And then people coming at us like really aggressively. And me and the team were texting about it. Like, it got under all of our skin.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, at the end of the day, you just have to say people are having a bad day if they're projecting any sort of anger towards the brand about this. And also, years into the business, you know, 6 years in, it's like, I've seen so much negativity, and it's like the positive way outweighs the negative, the people who believe. And so you just kind of have to like try to move on from it. But yes, it gets under your skin.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think? Have you ever received hate that gets under your skin?
Oh, yes. I get to a point where I think the main thing is I'm very much involved in like the content creation side of what I do.
Yeah.
And I think I've learned over the years, if I have any video go viral, do not look at the comments. Whatever I do, don't look at them. Don't even be tempted to look at them. Cause I've just learned for myself personally, like that's when like I've experienced the most, I think, insecurity. I mean, I do, my business is a Pilates, online Pilates studio and an in-person studio. So a lot of comments about my body, and I've just learned, like, I just can't look at those. Cause yeah.
That's so crazy. It's crazy that people think that they can, you know, do that, but it's like, they're not thinking you're a real person with real feelings. So yeah, the best way is not looking. Cause what does that do?
You just got to give yourself boundaries. Like, if you know that stuff can affect you, just don't look at it.
Yeah. Totally. Totally agree.
Okay. So moving on a little bit around motherhood and navigating all of that. First of all, when you had your first kid, I'm so curious, when you were pregnant and also running a business, what were some of the biggest, I guess, things you overcame in that time? Were you nervous about having a kid and balancing business? Like, what were some things you were going through in that moment?
I was totally nervous, but I think I just, when I first had my kid, I just like, I'm trying to remember back. I was also in like the grinding ball of phase. So I was like, how is this going to work? But I knew I wanted a kid so bad. So I was like, I'm just going to do it. And then I did it. And then I think I realized it, you see this too. Like, it just, you end up fitting the kid into your life in like a crazy way that you can't understand until you have one, you know, it just fits. Your life shifts and you look back and say, what did I do with all my free time and sleeping in? But you, it just like shifts the focus of your day and your time and priorities and all that. So yeah, I think each time I had a child, like things shifted and also my priorities shifted and my efficiency like was optimized and I was able to like punch above my weight during a nap time and like get stuff done. And like, you know, I really like changed my, my work days are totally different than I think you would expect, for a busy founder. And it's like, I've shifted my priorities and my actual time based on my kids' schedule so that I can be there and be present as a mother. Not to say you're not if you're out working, but it's like, you know, be as present as I can, but then also work, but just according to like their naps or when they're at school and things like that. So I think shit, like a time shift, and you'll see this when your baby gets older, you know, like shifting your meetings around when you drop them off at school and things like that. It's really helpful.
Did you ever struggle with mom guilt?
I have so much mom guilt. Like it's crazy. I like need to stop because I'm like so proud of people who don't, because I'm like, you shouldn't, because every mom is doing the very best they can. But yeah, I have mom guilt. I have mom guilt, like, you know, when I'm missing anything or if, yeah, it's really hard. I need somebody to help me with that.
Yeah. I think that's so common.
I know. You would think it goes away. It just doesn't.
I know. But I think, you know what has helped me a little bit is realizing if I put myself in my shoes or if I put myself in my child's shoes as she gets older, I think like I would want to see my mom like really going after, like if my mom was going after her dreams and was building a business and all these things, like I think as a kid, I'd be like, yeah, go mom. Like I'm inspired by you. And that's what, because I was really struggling with it. I was like, do I want to keep having a business? Like, do I want, like, what do I want? And I think I realized, like, I think that it's going to be really good for Belle. Like, I can have her be part of what I'm doing every day. And I can show her, hey, Belle, like, this is how you have a business. Like, this is what it looks like to teach Pilates. And I think there's not a right way to raise a kid, truly. I think every single person, like you're saying, like, have your kid be in your life. Like, a lot of people make having a kid, they change their entire life, like, put their life on pause to just do everything for the kid, which I don't think anything's wrong with that. But I also think that you can do it where you can have your kid be more integrated into what you're doing as well. I don't know. I have had a kid for 6 months. Like, I don't really know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, but you're right. No, you're right though. It shifts everything though when you do have it. You're in the early stages where you're like, who am I? And what's the point of what I'm doing sort of thing. So I totally know what you're saying. It's like, you can, and I do think that like that'll shape who she is, you know, just by seeing you work. And I think there's a way to make it work by balancing both. And I think it all comes down to like scheduling and timing, and they nap a lot, hopefully. If your kid doesn't nap, oof, I don't know. Or even like, you know, if you can get a nanny 4 hours a day, like you can do so much work in 4 hours. You know, so it's like you, and you also then could be present the rest of the day. Like there's just so many ways you can do it as a working mother. I think it would be very hard if you had to go to an office every day, all day. That is hard to probably like balance, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, how do you balance your own self-care and mental health, fitness, all of those things? Like, do you have time to do those things or what do you do?
Well, now I just like I'll put during my working day. So I'll put, you know, Core Power or Y7 yoga like on my calendar, and I'll try to go to a workout class a couple times a week. And if it's just on my calendar, then I know I'm going to do it. So I will do that, or I will go on walks with the kids. So like anything you can do with the kids is like a bonus, because like you're doing it for yourself and you're hanging out with your kids. So I'll do like long walks with the kids and wear the baby in the carrier or walk to the park. And then we have like a trainer that will come to our house, and that's great because then I don't have to leave the house. So there's a bonus there, because then it's like, oh, I'm just like stepping out for 30 minutes in the garage to do a workout while you know, in the middle. So it's really, it looks many different ways, but yeah, I try to incorporate the kids when I can.
I feel like motherhood pushes out a new side of creativity in the brain. It's like,
oh, for sure.
How can I make things in my day like all work together and make sense and blend and everything?
For sure. And like systems.
Were you a very scheduled person pre having kids?
No, definitely not. And now it's like, I want to like leave room for creativity and freedom in my days, but we do schedule a lot and we have our Sunday family meetings where we talk about what we have going on each day so that we're both in the loop. Hey, I'm taking him to a field trip this day. Like we have also like consistency helps. We found 5 years in, you know, to having a kid, it's like consistency really helps. So like my husband drops off my son to school every single day and I pick him up. And we just know that. So it like leaves out the like the question on who's doing what. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, like I do lunches and breakfast. And we know that. And then, you know, just like it's just certain things like that really help the flow of things.
Yeah. Has there been anything that you've had to cut out in your life or even in your business once you had kids?
Yes, my social life. And I'm not saying it's gone because it's not, but I have certain rules with myself. For my own sanity, it's like I allow myself one dinner a week and I try to do it after the kids have gone to bed, like so it's like 7:30 or 8, but it's like one social dinner a week. So basically it's like that could be either like dinner with a good friend or a date night with my husband or maybe it's like a work dinner, but like I'm not really leaving more than that. And so as a result, you know, your social life suffers because it's like you're not able to like hang out with friends as much. So I try to do like coffee dates with friends and a baby or something. You know, it's like, so I just say like your social life just changes because you're limited on what you can do and when you can do it. So, but this is the time I have toddlers.
Do you think that balance is a thing?
Balance?
Yeah.
Do you think, is it possible?
Yeah.
I do think it's possible, but I do think you have to figure out, you may have to make sacrifices to make it possible. Like I try to have like almost like no meetings on the books at all so that I can have freedom in my day to work and hang with the kids. And I think that's hard to do, but it took time to get there. But it's like, I think that was like a sacrifice I had to make is like, really prioritizing what meetings need to go on the books and then not having as many meetings. So I think you have to figure out to make balance work for you. You have to figure out what you have to sacrifice, if that makes sense. Cause we only have so much time in a day.
Yeah. Kind of like, what are your priorities? Like, what do you want to like really prioritize?
Yeah.
That's good advice. Okay. Before you wrap up, what is one big lesson that you wish you knew sooner with your business?
One big lesson would be that I think it's like, I had the like founder dilemma thing where you basically say yes to everything and you do everything. Early days, I'd had this and you're like kind of scared to miss out. But I think what I wish I knew is like opportunities will come. You don't need to say yes to everything. Like pick what you really feel passionate about and don't try to do it all because then you'll risk burnout. And so I think just like trusting that the right opportunities will come when they're meant to and that there's no scarcity of them, you know, like mm-hmm. you don't have to like burn yourself out to like say yes to everything.
Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I think we've covered a lot.
Wait, yeah. You need to tell us about the new line, the new exciting Bala line coming out.
Oh yes. Okay. So I will tell you about that. So basically, you know, every time I was pregnant, I'm like, there's no like cute or like functional pregnancy and pre and postnatal like products out there for moms. And I could not even think of like, I don't know, like a fitness site that has products that I would want to, you know, support my pre and postnatal journey. And so we started developing those. So we have a whole line called Bala Mama and it's coming out May 1st. And it's going to be, it's a one-stop shop for like supporting your pre and postnatal journey for fitness. So I'm very excited to launch that.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to see like what it is and what it entails. Are you guys keeping it kind of like under the rocks? Like what? the last.
We are, and the, yeah, for and then 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, yeah. If you're listening to this episode and the line has dropped, go check it out. I'm so excited to see what you guys are coming up with. Do you guys have a lot of products like you're continuously working on?
Yeah, we're trying to always think about the future. And so even if something might not launch for like 2 years, it's like it's probably in development now.
Wow. Wow, that's really cool. That takes some skill to think that far in advance.
A lot of work.
Well, Natalie, you're doing a really good job, and I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and taking the time. You have so much wisdom, and I know that a lot of people are going to take a lot of amazing things away from this episode.
Thank you so much. Nice to chat with you.
Yeah. Where can everybody find you and connect with you and follow along and all of the things?
Natalie, it's just Natalie Holloway on Instagram. I'm just starting my TikTok, so I'll shout that out on a future podcast.
Oh my goodness, a TikTok queen in the making.
Like 5 years late, but gotta do it.
TikTok is fun. I personally like TikTok over Instagram for creating. I'm more Instagram, but
yeah,
it's easier for some reason for me on TikTok. I don't know why.
I'm learning. I gotta check out your TikTok.
Yeah, check it out. It's a lot of Pilates, and you'll see all your stuff. You know, I have Bala. Like my whole studio is Bala equipment.
I know. Yeah, I know. If you need the Bala Mama stuff.
I know. I'm very excited. But yeah, just so you know, I love Bala, and you're all the people in my studio are obsessed with. I got the Bala balls. My clients, they have a love hate relationship with them. It is a very spicy addition to the studio, I will say.
I love it. Yeah, I love the balls. They can be a good workout. That's great for pre and postnatal too.
Oh my goodness, the deep core activation. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. So good. Okay, well, thanks for coming on, girl. And everyone, go and follow Natalie and definitely go check out Bala for all of your fitness needs.
Yay. Nice to chat. Talk soon.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.